Welcome to A Lunch with Biggie, a podcast about small business and creatives sharing their stories and inspiring you. My guest today is a designer, a traveler, and he's a galaxy defender from Earth. Inspired by his love of pop culture in so many mediums, please welcome the mind and creator behind Coffin Couture Design Studio, Mauro Balcazar. What's going on, buddy?
Settle down now. Settle down now.
I love it. Yeah, we're in a live audience.
Relax,
here.
Mom.
Dude, thank you so much for inviting me to your, I'm going to call it Mr. Mauro's Playhouse.
I like that.
Right?
Yeah, I like
because,
that.
Because I absolutely been following your Instagram feed and just loving all the different areas. Right now, we're currently in the Monster Cafe in the kitchen area set up. And it's just amazing to see all the different, your eyes, you can wander around, look in your eyes, and you can just see so many different amazing things that kind of capture you. So I'm definitely intrigued to be able to chat with you about where all this stuff inspires you and where you get all of this. But you know, usually, obviously, since it's my lunch break, what's your usual lunch go-to sandwich?
All right. I've thought about this for years. I'm a stickler to the original, the classic. It's a fresh baked Italian white bread, ham, salami, cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo. That's it.
You have a preference on mayo?
White.
No brand? Brand doesn't matter?
No.
Okay.
Just what are you, working for Big Mayo?
No. I'm Big Mayo. Yeah.
Yeah. Pushing Heinz on me?
Some people like Duke's. That's why. There's a big thing here.
I never heard of Duke's.
Yeah. That's because originally you're from up north. So that's why. Because like the Big South thing in North Carolina, the Big South Mayo is Duke's Mayo. Everyone has like a thing because they like that twang is what they say.
You're telling me I'm a Heinz boy.
You may be a Hellman's or a Heinz person. Which is fine. I have no. I'm. I don't discriminate on any mayo. I eat all the different mayos. Whatever's on sale is what I go with.
If it's white, it's right.
Yeah, there you go.
Cut that. No.
We're cutting that.
No, yeah. But I will say I do have a guilty pleasure that I've realized in the last couple of years that I like. Just bread, cheese, and mayo.
Yeah, I've done that.
You have?
Oh yeah, I've done that. Oh yeah.
It's the best when the bread is fresh. Because if that bread is stale.
What kind of bread do you have? Like, do you have a particular loaf of bread or a bread that you usually get or whatever?
No, just at a deli. Like,
okay.
I always say if you want a great sandwich, go straight to your local pizzeria and just ask for a classic. Boom.
Okay.
Don't go to like the big sandwich stores.
No.
Yeah, not for me.
No, I totally get that. All right. So, ironically, I always like to think about like where I've met my guests, and you and I remember meeting because we actually met at one of my events when I was selling, and I think you bought one of my shirts, and I just thought, whatchamacallit, you, when I start, then I started following you, or I tagged you and you started following me, and then I started following you and I realized that you have this amazing brand, that you've
That's
been, I think it's great and amazing enough for me to, you know, I intrigued me enough to try to follow. And I definitely loved the idea of what you're trying to create with Coffin Couture. So I kind of wanted, I was like, this would be a great opportunity for me to be able to chat with you and get to know you. And at the same time, kind of get a little bit of an idea of where the inspiration comes from, you know, and what you've kind of created. Cause you know, I also see you traveling quite a bit around the country, selling what, Coffin Couture has created. So, that's kind of the big idea of where I kind of thought, but before I start,
say more,
is it pork roll or Taylor ham? Cause you're from New Jersey. So as a Jersey boy, just like me, do you have a preference on what you call it? I know what your answer should be, but I want to know because you're from Northern Jersey. So is it pork roll or Taylor ham, or you don't care?
I don't care because I'm a bacon boy.
Okay.
And I love nothing more. You can ask my parents. You can ask my girlfriend. You can ask God himself. Bacon, egg, and cheese all day.
Okay.
That got me through the pandemic.
Okay.
Yep.
So you've never, you don't even have a preference. Do you,
I've had it.
Do you call it anything or what do you call it?
A thing.
Okay.
A thing I want to order.
Okay.
I'm telling you, man, just like a sandwich, bacon, egg, and cheese, if it's done right, if it's done by a man smoking a cigarette, you know it's going to be good. It's something about that. Like it's a working man sandwich.
Okay. Hey, a bodega sandwich. I totally get that.
Exactly. 100%.
So tell people about Coffin Couture. What made you start it? Like tell me a little bit about the origin story of it, how it all began.
I think it's a love of two things that I like. One is monsters and everything about just classic Universal monsters and that whole world of like spooky Halloween and like Dracula, Frankenstein. And it's also that love of like fashion and like dressing well and like mid-century style, like combining those two things that I like. And yeah, Coffin Couture. It's like you're going to get some spooky, you're going to get something stylish, something. You're not going to get Funko Pops for me. Put it that way.
Okay.
Right? So whether it be like mid-century Bluetooth radios, men's and women's brooches, pins, like something you'd want to either see in a gallery or in your house.
What has inspired this? Like, is this something that I've always kind of curious, like, are your parents into this as well? Like, did you want, like, are they into,
they hate me.
What was that?
They hate me.
No, they love you. They absolutely love
They're
you.
They're here, mom.
Yeah. They love you. She was just clomping a few minutes ago.
I love them.
So was it something that, like, were they into it, or did you have family, or like, how did you get into this? Was it just one of those things that you, like, me and my friends used to watch it, and then I just kind of grew on, or?
No, it's just all me. My parents actually have an architect background. Like, they were architects growing up. You know, and over time, like, I got developed that love of art and like style, and just like, the appreciation for art was very well renowned in my family. And I think, I was actually going to be a police officer.
Really?
Little known fact. Plot twist.
Okay.
I got a job as a police officer. They don't want to do that. And I was like, let me just do this art thing and see what happens. And like, I think the goal was always to be somewhere with graphic design. So in my day job, I get to do that.
Yep.
Not as creative as I want it to be, but it still gives me that.
Yep.
It gives me free Photoshop, folks. Get you a job, it gets you free Photoshop. It's expensive nowadays.
Yeah.
And you know, with that, I was like, really, the reason that you inspire this entire like journey of like creating stuff, you ever watch that movie, The Last Dragon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Highly recommend it. Five stars. Six stars.
It's great.
And I love that movie. And as a kid, I was like, why can't I find like a really cool like Mondo style poster or like a print of that? You can buy the original poster, yeah, but like I want something unique. And I was like, I'm just learning Photoshop. I was like, let me just try making this and see how it turns out. So I bought those Wacom tablets, started playing with it, and I ended up creating my own little poster for myself. And this was like, social media was brand new for me at the time. I wasn't really like doing it.
What year was that? Around one time?
God, many moons ago. It was like, trying to think, what kind of phone did I have back then? That's like a good
Time, right? That or music is usually the big ones.
I want to say I had a flip phone.
Okay.
So we're talking at least over like 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I posted it online. I posted it on the blog, and it got picked up by a few people who were working HBO at the time. And they started using it at events to promote the movie, and like ended up making a shirt over it, and that shirt went crazy online. You can still find it at redbubble.com. If you type in Mauro Balcazar, you can find it. But so I was like, hey, maybe I can keep doing more movie posters. Again, just for myself.
Yeah.
So I did that. I did Men in Black, the Turtles. It's funny because when I look back at it now, it's like, this is terrible. like I've thought about going back and redoing them, but I'm told by my artist friends it's a no-no. But like, you see the development progression of my art. And like, I've always, that movie poster world is so inspiring for me, right? Like to like tell a story visually. And I just kept doing that. And that spiraled to, how could I tell a story through pins?
Yeah.
Or how could I tell a story through a resin figure, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's always about telling a story. And as a kid, whether it's architecture with my parents or The Last Dragon in the movie, I'm always trying to tell a story. And I find that works for me through my Coffin Couture brand.
Okay.
God damn, way to bring it back around.
I like it. Good job. Someone's been on a podcast before.
Thanks, Mom.
You raised them right. So that's one of the, I am kind of curious though. So you didn't, when you watched all these movies as a kid, did you watch them by yourself, watch them with your friends, watch them with your parents? Like, I'm always just kind of curious, like, was there anyone else like that you kind of like, kind of where you got the love for this? Cause I mean, obviously like I got a love for sports, but my parents didn't like sports. So like, obviously I got that on my own, but there's certain things that like, I know, like I love a good food, or I love certain things. And I got that. I noticed that it's a commonality that I have with my mom, that we both like sweets. So I'm always kind of curious, like, where did this like love of monsters and like kind of like, because a lot of this stuff is like the classic, and that's kind of like, it's almost like you you know, especially with like getting, being finely dressed and all those things. Those are all things from like 70s, 80s, where it's like kind of like, you know, like it was like
Dick Van Dyke or like Get Smart. Or
yeah, exactly. All of those, like the Munsters and all that type of stuff. Like, and those are all things that I love seeing that you're inspired by, but I'm always kind of curious of like, where did it like, where did it stem from? Like in the sense of like, was there someone else that also liked it and you,
I can tell you exactly where it stems from.
Tell me.
And I think the legality is over. So I can legally say this now.
Oh.
We had a stolen cable box as a kid. So your boy was growing up with HBO, Disney. Yeah. What are the other legal cables? Pay-per-view?
Yeah, pay-per-view.
Royal Rumble? I had it. Yep.
I like it.
So we always had people around the house. Literally, hey, you want to watch the boxing match? Come over. It's free. How? Don't worry about it. Just come over.
I love it.
So I got to watch literally everything. I'm talking Nickelodeon, yeah. HBO. I've probably seen more movies in my youth growing up than any kid was allowed to.
What? So since obviously I know you like all the different monsters and everything, I'm just going to ask the question. Do you have a favorite out of all the classic monsters, like the usual monsters that, you know, you would find or figure it out?
No, I think it changes. I think the more you evolve over time, the more you connect with a certain monster.
Okay.
And I'm starting to realize that now.
Where are you at right now?
I think I'm a cross between the Wolfman, just because he's like wild, you know, like in party mode.
Yeah.
And maybe like Dracula.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where were you in earlier on? Would you say like Frankenstein was kind of
definitely
more your favorite?
Frankenstein, Hornball, like the creatures in Black Lagoon.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever watch that movie?
Yeah.
Huge Hornball. Oh my God, man. The entire film plot is him trying to hook up with a girl.
Hey.
Keep it in your pants, man.
Hey, Swamp Things need some love too, man. Shit. They need it. They have no one else to go with.
Risked it for the biscuit.
Yeah. That's how it works. So I know your corporate job, like you mentioned, like I know you do a strategic branding and I know you, like what, one of the things that I think I admire the most is the fact that you do a really good job at trying to mix, you know, a little bit of everything from when I see your arts and everything. And one of the things that I think I've enjoyed, especially, I almost feel like there's a lot of things going on when it comes to your, like your enamel pins. Like you have almost, it almost looks like you have like a series happening, like a love affair series of like the two characters and some of your pins. Like I've noticed that. Was that on purpose or is that something that you just kind of, because I've seen it everywhere from like the Indiana Jones ones to the Munsters to the Addams Family and things like that, where it's like Batman, like the 1960s, you know, Batman and Catwoman, all of those. Is that something that you just kind of like, hey, this kind of works? I kind of love that aspect of it, because I mean, it's badass as a pin. So I'm just kind of curious.
You trying to buy?
I am gonna buy one.
Gotta plug that site.
Yeah.
No, it actually.
What's the website again?
It's a coffincouture.com.
Okay, beautiful.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom. But yeah, it just honestly, like it wasn't a thing that I had planned on doing. It was just, I had seen this movie and it broke me emotionally. The Shape of Water. You ever seen it?
Mm-hmm.
God damn. Like, I wasn't ready for it, put it that way. And I was like, I want to buy something in this movie. And I just come out. I had seen it in person at one of the premieres in the city. I literally remember coming home that day and I was like, I want to make something. I was like, I'll make a pin. At the time I was doing pins for some third party guy who was hiring me. You know, nothing I wouldn't buy myself. It was just a job. So I knew how to make them. I was like, I have an idea. And I made the two of them that you'll see in the poster in my parlor of them hugging. It was that. And it came out really well. I was like, oh, this came out better than I expected. It sold out very quickly. And I was like, okay. So then I was like, what other couples, I guess, as people call them at conventions, couples do I want to do? Yeah,
couples.
I was like, you know, who do I like seeing on screen? Who inspires me the way that movie inspired me? So that brought me to the Munsters, the Addams Family, Star Trek. Didn't sell that well, but I still love it. you know, like it's just a matter of like, yeah, there are couples. They're not always like relationship wise.
Yeah.
One of the ones that I really like is the Jim Henson and Kermit the Frog.
Oh, that's a great one. Yes.
It's great. They're a couple.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, platonic brother.
They're a twosome.
Yeah. It's great. So that's kind of like where that line's going towards now. It's just more like, who do you like seeing together? Yeah. Who likes being together?
Like a peanut butter and jelly.
There you go. Great sandwich, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Do you put bananas in it?
I do put bananas.
How is it?
It's good.
I never ventured to do it. I want to.
If you're going
to
do bananas, though, a lot of times, though, if you're going to do bananas, a lot of people will do peanut butter, banana, and marshmallow fluff.
That's too much.
And then it's really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if, hear me out.
Yeah.
Maduros.
Oh.
Ah.
Maduros in a peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah, why not?
I would try it.
Maybe some bacon.
If you do that though, I would have to do it on a pan. I would make it almost so it's like a grilled peanut butter and jelly with maduro and bacon sandwich.
Oh, that's nice.
Now it's on my list, and now I want to have that.
Yeah, I'm here to give you thoughts.
All right, I like this. Yeah. I like this conversation.
I work for Big Maduro. You're wondering.
great. I work for Big Mayo, so it's fine.
Can you curse on this?
Yeah.
Okay, I felt bad. No. Sorry, Mom. Yeah, that's where that line's going. So hopefully I get requests all the time to do more, and I have a list. It's just, it's hard when you want to do something, but you're not inspired to do it just yet.
Yeah.
So I always say in my head, I'm making the pins in my head. When they're done, then I'll finally.
When you see it, right?
Yeah. Like, when I see it in my head, it's done. I know how it looks like. Then I just copy in my hand, just does the rest of my iPad.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask how the creative process went. And when you do it, when you write it down, is it just kind of like a quick write down, like you write it down, or are you just like a quick little doodle, or you just kind of do a quick little
Batman, Catwoman question mark?
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's all in my head.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've enjoyed that I saw that you sell, and I know that you're working on a second series of a second version of this, was I know you started with the Addams Family Tarot cards.
Here it comes.
And then the new ones that I'm seeing are coming up, I guess, is Stranger Things.
No, that was just a one-off.
Oh, that was just a one-off.
Yeah, that was another thing. I was like, I just saw this episode. It broke me. Let me do something. Who would he be as a tarot card?
I saw that, but then I thought you were doing another series of tarot cards.
I am.
But it's not Stranger Things?
It's not. People keep asking me for that. I'm just like, I don't know.
Which one? What did I miss? What did I miss then? What is it going to be?
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Say it three times.
Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Yes, that's what it was. Beetlejuice.
I'm working on that now. I'm going to actually start focusing on it really hard towards the end of this month, December. And yeah, it'll be ready before the movie comes out, which I just heard today. I think it's supposed to come out September of next year.
Okay.
So it'll be aligned towards that. Like, it'll both line up towards that.
So that's the goal. The goal is to try to get it out when it comes out.
Not a goal. It has to happen. No, it has to happen.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'm a stickler when it comes to deadlines because I'm the only one that sets them.
Yeah.
It's like, I have to.
Yeah. And the hard part, and of course, obviously the big one for you is making each one of those the vision of like trying to see it. Like, even though for me, so I doodle what I think is going to be the design, but I obviously work with different designers. So like for me, I see an image of what I think it's going to be, and I do the same thing. Like, I doodle it. And then a lot of times when I talk to the designer, I'll be like, I'll let you have a free go, but I don't want to waste your time. I'm like, this is kind of what I see. And if then I go, but I'm picking you because I want you, I love your style. So this is what I see, put it in your style, and then let's see what we can do. And
as a graphic designer, I have to thank you for doing that.
Right? Because what happens is, like, I don't know. I look at it as your time is limited. And if I can make it where I'm like, I don't have a problem if someone says to me, and when someone says to me, hey, can I come up with something? I'm usually like, sure, but can you do it on a paper and pencil, like a quick doodle? I'm like, don't go elaborate on me, because if I'm in the wrong, if it's in the total wrong direction, I don't want to make you waste your time. And so for me, that's one of the big things. That's why I'm always kind of curious of where you put it. Like, so do you have notebooks, or do you have put it on your phone? Where do you put all these like ideas when you're starting to come up with when you're brainstorming?
It's literally all in my head.
All
in
your head?
That's why I told you earlier, I'm always like absent-minded. Because like, if because you're talking, you're constantly, I'm working on 10 things at the same time.
That and the fact that I'm all, and in my world, if that's the case, it would be me repeating myself, telling me the same thing. It'd be like, maluro, peanut butter and jelly, maluro and bacon.
Oh, really?
And it'd be like, I would have to repeat it until I wrote it down somewhere, especially when I'm going to bed and I get excited about an idea.
Just go, this guy's fucking possessed.
Yeah.
God damn.
But you know what I mean? Like, that's sometimes like what happens with when it comes to that. So let's talk a little bit about kind of the evolution of how you kind of went. So obviously it caught fire, the idea of the movie poster for The Last Dragon. And then from there you kind of be like, oh, this kind of works. And then you started kind of developing. At what point did you like, hey, I think I have something where I kind of want to do my own thing. I don't want to do someone else's. And I want to start building it. And then from then, what made you decide to go, well, now I'm going to start going and traveling and actually selling my stuff at, you know, in LA and 98 Gallery and stuff like that?
In my day job, there was this guy I used to work with who was writing his own book. So he knew I doodled, and he was like, hey, would you mind if you just do some things for me? I'll pay you. I was like, sure, yeah, I'll do it. Fine. I mean, I'm a graphic designer by my day job or whatever, so I was doing his stuff. And then he ended up doing Comic Cons in New York. And he was like, hey, do you want to come with me? We can, you know, sell some prints of the book cover design and some of the posters you made for the book. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
And you lived in New York at the time, right?
Jersey.
Jersey. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Jersey boy through and through.
Beautiful. Giants or Jets? Do you like any
Neither.
Sports?
Sports, gross.
Okay.
Although I have played baseball.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm in shape, so I can kind of play.
Yeah.
Do I want to? No. Wait, I take that back. Space Jam.
That's your favorite movie? Or that's your
sports movie?
Sports movie.
That and what's the one with Babe Ruth?
The Sandlot.
That's yeah. Those two.
Those are good ones.
Hit, yeah.
Those are good ones though.
Yeah.
Those are good ones.
So I kind of like sports.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Although my friends know I don't like sports, and they make it a point to take me to places.
Oh, that have sports.
Yeah. Before I moved, they took me to the Mets.
Uh huh.
Mets Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I danced with Mrs. Mets.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I like that. Mighty Ducks. What about Mighty Ducks?
I saw when I was a kid. It just didn't catch me.
Didn't catch you.
If it involved physical sports as a kid, I wasn't gonna watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah.
So then you decided. So you went to You went to the Comic Con in New York.
Yeah. So we went to the Comic Con. We started selling these posters and stuff on it. And I actually had done some original sketches of some of his book characters and some of my own, just giveaway stuff like, this is Dracula, this is Frankenstein, like,
yeah,
really like Benihadas, like, you know, like things I would never thought would sell. And I remember very, very vividly, this one guy walked up to me, barely said hello, and he was like, I'll take all four. And I was like, okay, it's like, you know, it's $80. He was like, sure, fine. And I was like, really? That's it? I asked him, I was like, you want it? He's like, yeah, give it to me. And I was like, okay. So I was like, maybe I can do more. And the next year, when he ended up doing the same show again, I started to bring my Last Dragon poster. I started to bring, like, by then they were done. I brought maybe like two or three posters and they sold out. Right. And I was like, oh shit, like maybe I could do this full time. Like, not full time, but I can have my
own
table.
I could do this, yeah.
Yeah. So then, thankfully, as the years went by, I ended up getting my own table, doing my own shows in different places in Jersey and New York. And I went, well, it's been going pretty well ever since, with the goal to always have been to be a published artist, or a real artist, as I say. You know, doesn't mean anything, but when you have your work published for the first time by somebody other than yourself, it feels good.
Okay.
So that's been happening lately, so which is nice.
And as it should. How long have you been doing this, and when did it become that you're like, hey, I'm going to put it under the Coffin Couture umbrella?
The Coffin Couture thing is fairly recent.
Or Coffin, I guess.
I think it's like the last 3-4 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Whenever the Shape of Water came out, that's when Coffin Couture was born, I think.
Okay.
Once I knew I wanted just to focus on like. Someone at a Comic Con once asked me what inspired me, and it was like romance. Like, if you look at my stuff, it's very romantic.
Yeah.
Even if it's like horror stuff.
And
it's like,
that's the same reason why I kind of asked the question about the couples, because that's kind of what I noticed. I noticed there's a love there. Well, obviously there's a genuine love for that era in those times.
Yeah.
And I could tell that you had a connection to those characters or to some of those things of pop culture. Because like everything from, you know, the mere fact that you had a rain jacket, a Jurassic Park rain jacket, or the fact that, and that's one thing that I kind of, one of the things that, There definitely is a romance and a love for what you do. And one of the reasons I know that is because if you watch the videos of the things that you do, and obviously I know you study strategic branding and marketing and all that stuff, but there is you do things because you love them. And that's one of the reasons that's kind of, I've captured. And that's why, one of the reasons why I'm like, I wanted to talk to you. I'm intrigued by you. And I'm like super excited about your brand and what you do, because I see the videos of things that you've created. And in reality, yes, I know you probably want like everyone and their mother to see it, but you really do it because you have a love for it and you love to be able to show it. Like, you freaking did.
I'm just a nerd, man.
Yeah, but you have a nerd, but you've also kind of like, you know how to creatively show that love for that nerddom or nerdness. Like everything from, you know, and I'll use it like watching some of the videos that you've done, everything from, like, you dressed up like freaking Indiana Jones and went to freaking Hawaii and showed parts of that, of like being dressed up, and like did a video and also showed like your pin as like a release of your pin.
The sad part is I did that without even the pin in mind. The pin was an afterthought.
It didn't matter though. It didn't matter, but you still did that.
That's how I dress whenever I go.
Are you serious?
In the jungle. Yep. You're like, oh my God, you're so brilliant the way you do your marketing. That was me on a Tuesday minding my own business in the jungle.
But that's the thing, though. That's what you love and that's what you do. Like, I mean, the same reason, like when you did, I saw one that you did, like, didn't you do like a Mandalorian Daft Punk?
Oh, for Halloween. That was a
for
good
Halloween.
One. That was fun,
like,
yeah.
That was hilarious.
That was my Halloween costume.
I know, but it still was good. Yeah. Same thing with like, are you going to do a Wolverine one for since for you dressed up?
I didn't do it this year. I was too focused getting the costume done to actually do a video. But that was a fun one.
Because I was hoping you would, with especially since you had been to Japan and done the whole samurai thing. Oh, I was hoping that you could have like done a mixture of some of those like B-roll and then have your character to be able to do. Yeah. But I mean, I've just seen like some of the things that you do that you just kind of like, it seems just like, I love doing this and this is fun for me and this is a normal thing. And I don't know. I just think I'm captured by that love that you have, especially for some of the things of, you know, the classic pop cultures, like the fact that you bought a Pee Wee Herman, you're designing, I don't think you finished it yet, like a motorized scooter version of Pee Wee Herman.
I haven't even started that yet.
Yeah.
I have all the pieces ready to go. Yeah. I just, again, you gotta be in the right moment, the right headspace.
Yeah. But that I think that's also part of like the world of you being creative from what I've noticed. It's kind of like there's some aspects that you're kind of like, I'm just free flowing, man. I'm just going. And when I think of something, I'm like, I focus and I'm like there, but if I go and I'll dart a different direction.
Very true. Very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't give me dates. Don't tell me times. I'll just do it. Yeah. I'm like, or I don't.
That's good. How difficult, with that being said, how difficult is it when you're trying to keep yourself locked in place to be able to get stuff done? Like, obviously, like I know right now you're working on one of the other things that I saw that was a very cool thing that's very popular that you sell is your ghost toy. Is a very popular one. And you're constantly making those, and you've made different variations of that character.
Yeah.
You know, that's gotta be a tough one. Cause sometimes you gotta, even though you're a free spirit and free flowing, that part of it is like, oh, I have a deadline. I have a conference to go to and I gotta get these done and everything like
that. Yeah. That's why I don't do too many shows back to back, because when I do sell a lot of stuff, it's hard to like restock.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put myself in a position where I show up to a show and I have like two things.
Yeah. Cause then it's a waste of time for you too.
Come on, man. Like, yeah.
You want to be able to make money and at the same time be able to interact with those people. And
it's not about making money. No, it's not. But it's just to make sure that you're seeing the best of what I can do.
Correct.
And not like two things and say, oh yeah, sorry, check the website in 6 months or.
Yeah. You know, or put it on a wait list or shoot.
I would never want that for myself going to the convention.
No, you know? I totally get that. Yeah. What made you come up with the idea? One of the things that you, that I thought was very interesting is that you made a coffin, a Fang speaker. So you made it like a coffin Bluetooth speaker. Where did that idea come from? And just kind of like, made you decide to start. I'm assuming you did it because like, oh, I think this would be cool for myself. And then at that point,
yeah,
you're like,
yeah. It's again, everything I do is born out of necessity because I'm very selfish. And like, I want to have like, anybody can go today and buy a Bluetooth speaker. You can buy one on Amazon for like $10. But everyone has the same thing. Everyone has the same car. I'm a real stickler of being like unique. Not because I want to be unique. It's just because I don't like seeing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
So if I go to the beach or I go to a house party or I go to my friend's cookout, I'm not going to like plug my phone into like a little speaker and play music. Like I kind of want to make it like a scene and be dramatic. So I was like, why don't I just make my own? I know enough basics of electronics to design my own. I'm a designer by trade. I can make something really, really cool. And I asked myself, remember like writing it down, like it was like, what would Frankenstein bring to a house party? And I was like, what would you bring? Like, what would it look like? So it was like, yeah, sure, a coffin. Or what would Dracula bring to a house party? Yeah. And that's like another branch of the Coffin Couture line is Fang. Fang is like a line of speakers or like electronics that monster, what do you call it? I called it electronics for the mid-century monster. It was like, you know, like I'll bring this to the party. It's super loud. It's really bright. It'll cause a scene.
Yeah.
And it's fun. So I haven't sold one. Like I literally just made the one for myself and I bring it to shows. And it's fun, like 9 times out of 10, people always stop me saying, who makes it? How much is that? How much do you want it? I'm like, it's not for sale. It's mine. So now at the last convention at Spooky Empire, mm-hmm. I've got enough requests where I'm sick and tired of y'all. And I'm finally making a new one. So it'll be available for sale, hopefully sometime in December.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite part of creating for Coffin Couture, and what's your least, like what's been like the part that's not as much fun or the least favorite part of it?
Right now, the least favorite part is 3D printing. I don't know if you have experience doing that.
Mm-mm. I know it's very time consuming though.
It's less about time consuming because it's always going to take forever. It's that when you're first learning how to do specifically new figures or sculpts, to make sure your machine doesn't break every 10 seconds, doesn't fail. It's like kind of like a huge learning curve. So once you get past that, it's a huge thing to get past. but it's fun to see what you literally painted on your iPad be a physical thing in your hand.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy crap, like this is a replicator from Star Trek. Like that's exactly what it is. You like Star Trek?
Yeah.
Good.
I would say I would have to, considering you have so you prefer obviously definitely more Star Trek than I don't see any Star Wars in this house. So
Star Wars was great as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And now it's like all like space Jesus stuff. Like I get it. The Force, it's cool.
Yeah.
But Mandalorian's awesome.
Yeah.
Just a loner. Just here mm-hmm. to pay me. It's me and my kid, leave me alone. What's your job? Great. Yeah.
Like, what? Tell me about the fascination of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the fact that you are, I don't think it's out yet. I think it's, you're still working on it. I believe the coffee table book with all the different photography. Oh, crap.
You know about that. Damn, deep cut.
All the different photos of like the 1990 TMNT movie.
Who told you that?
Tell me where the heck that came from. And then like, if I read it correctly, you're working on it. It's not released.
Yeah, and so just to be clear, it's not going to be for sale.
Correct.
You can't buy this.
That's what I was going to say.
Legally, I don't know the photos.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like when I saw it, I was like, "How the heck?" And I was like, "I'm like, I almost felt like I knew that was like, hey, I'm showing you my project that I'm working on, but it's for me. It's not for anything else."
Yeah. So again, I love coffee table books. I love how to books, like movie making books. If you see my little library, it's all that, like how are movies made, how are costumes made. And there's never been a behind-the-scenes book for the original Turtles film, my favorite film of all time. So there's enough photos online that exist that anyone can find, right? And I've ran them through AI, so they're all high-res now. But the idea was to make a photo book of all these photos and give them to gifts for people who've worked in the film, right? Like, you know, you have Judith Hogue, you have Tief Lilden, I forget his name. All these actors, this is a thank you. Hey, here you go. You were in this movie. This book's for you. I'm not going to sell them. Like, I have no intention on selling them. Like, yeah. But it's something nice, again, at a necessity that I kind of want for myself.
Another love.
Yeah. It's just like, I want it. What makes it? I can just do it. Yeah. If a third party provider wants to license it and go through the trouble of clearing all those images, great.
Good luck.
Now, that's fine. Do it. I'm sure fans would love it. But again, I do it for myself. And it's something as a way of like giving back to like people who made the things you like, right? Like,
yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So sorry, folks, you can't buy it. But you can see some pictures of them online. There's a website that I put up a few months ago. God, what's the name of it? I'll find out and give it to you.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I think it's like tmntphotobook.com. Okay. It's something like that. Or Cowabunga Photobook.
Yeah, the book is called Cowabunga.
I forgot what it's called, yeah. Yeah. I got to get back to it.
Boy,
I
researched too much, I guess.
I know, goddamn. What's my social security number?
4679.
Mom! You're in your mouth, Mom. No me gusta. But yeah, no, that's a passion project for me, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any others that you're working on that you think, what are some things that you would love to get Coffin Couture to kind of move? In what direction are you looking, like would love for it to kind of do right now? Because right now, obviously you have prints, you have some tarot cards there, you know, obviously those, that could be a great concept of series. You got the, you know, and then you're creating other things as well. We have the fangs aspect of it with the technology and the sounds, electronics. Is there anything else that you're kind of like, I would love to try to get to a point where...
Yeah, I think I'd love to get away from like IPs, like other people's stuff. The older I get, the more I start to get a little bit better at what I'm doing. I kind of want to have my own things. Like, it'd be nice to get to a point where it's just me and my ghosts and my custom figures and my custom paintings and my own pins, which I'm starting to do now more and more.
Yeah.
But again, I'm always testing it out, see if people react to it. Because you can put stuff online and you get crickets back. And you're like, oh shit, I suck. I suck as a person. I suck as an artist. Mom. And then like you go to a convention and like people freak out. Like I went to the Spooky Empire and people were freaking out over the little petite vampire. People were like, oh my God, what is this? This is a little vampire. Can I have it? Sure I can. Like, so it's nice to see that interaction and you really get people will be like, you know what? The stuff you make, even though it's not a big name IP, like, you know, Adam's Family, I still want it and it's cool.
Yeah.
And I'll give you money for it and I'll take it.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. Well, how do you handle, or how does that work for you when it comes to that? Because obviously I know you do things because you have a love for it. And so some of those things you're like, hey, I'll create it. I don't care what the feedback is. But at the same time, there is, as an artist, you do kind of want to have some of that. So how do you balance that between I'm creating what I want to create, but I also, at the same time, I also, you know, I'm like, I do kind of, like you said, like on social media, you may not see you may get crickets versus it being in person. So how do you handle or balance that? So that way you don't go too high or too low. And then it kind of keeps you, you know, kind of grounded where you're still kind of wanting to create and go from there.
I think knowing that I have certain shows coming out where people will give me the feedback I need, whether it's a hit or not, I look forward to that. So I'll make stuff saying, you know what? I may not get whatever on social media, but I'll know I have the show coming up, and I'll know like within the first day whether folks like it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say that you're primarily, obviously I know we've talked already, you don't like doing outside shows. So I know conventions obviously work really well. Is that kind of what you think would be your bread and your bread and butter?
I guess.
For when you're doing events and stuff like that, and online, of course.
I just hate the wind. Yeah. I hate the wind. too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like being comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got
I'm
you.
A comfy monster. Yeah.
Very nice. I love that. What advice would you give someone for wanting to start something?
Just do it. Yeah. Just literally just do it.
Yeah.
It's going to suck for a while and it'll get better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have other iterations of the ghost toy that you're actually thinking of kind of going where you think it's going to, where it's going? How many evolutions has that already been to? I think it's like four. Is it more than four?
Like different styles?
Yeah. Different styles.
Yeah. I think it's been like five or six. Mm-hmm. I had that Barbie ghost and I had the Boogeyman ghost. Again, it's just a matter of what's in my mind. Like,
yeah.
What inspires me any given day?
Out of curiosity, what's in your mind now? Like, what with us talking, has anything come up? Like, any ideas or possible future ideas have come into your head as a possible brainstorming idea?
As we're talking, the Beetlejuice tarot cards.
Okay.
That's been playing my head nonstop for the last 2 months.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. That's got to be tough.
Cause I don't sleep.
I was gonna, do you sleep or sleep. When do you actually, like, how does that all kind of work? How does that breakdown kind of go?
I'm like a midnight monster. I like to work late. When I get into the swing of things, like once I have an idea and I know it's done in my head, I can hit the proverbial print. I'll work like nonstop, like all day if I have to, until it's done. And I think it's like that fear of like somebody else might do it. Somebody might beat you to it. Like there's like an imaginary clock in my head that just goes off the second I hit print in my head.
Well, they say sometimes when you have an idea and you don't work on it, and basically it'll go away and go to someone else.
Oh yeah,
100%. So I believe that.
Yeah,
100%. I totally believe that.
Yeah, the Le Petit Vampire that I made, it started as me just, again, I was going through like our creative rut, and I was like, let me take the iPad out. Let me just open up a stupid app. I think it's called Sculptress. And I was like, let me just make a ball with eyes on it. And then like after an hour, I was like, this is kind of cool. What is this? And I just kept at it. Within like the next 2 hours, I had a whole sculpt done, and I was like, let me just keep going at it. And by the next day I'd printed a test prototype. And wow. I was like, holy shit, like this is cool. Will somebody buy it? I don't know. But I'll make one for myself. And that's that big one over there you see over there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty cool looking. But I thought I saw little versions of
he's a one off. The actual one is like a 9-inch little vampire figure. Yeah.
No, those are pretty amazing. It's really fun to see kind of, and I know that's something that you and I kind of talked about, was the fact that you kind of want to make it where you started off at a certain height of what these toys are going to be, and then kind of be able to move them up these figures to actually make them bigger, which is, I think is cool to be able to kind of do that. Cause then obviously as you grow, you kind of can go that route.
Yeah. It's crazy what 3D printers can do nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think you're going more towards 3D printing and that type of stuff than going through like it's just another outlet for you?
I'm in my 3D era right now.
Okay. I like that.
That might end next week. Who knows?
Yeah. No, I totally get that.
It's whatever story I want to tell, whatever medium fits that story.
If a monster, if we were to do something and if we were to do something, if a sandwich and a monster were to do something, or something with Coffin Couture and a sandwich, what would it be? What flows through your head? Other than, of course, the sandwich that we just talked about, which was the peanut butter and jelly with maduros and bacon.
Mm-hmm. Like a monster specific sandwich?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You ever hear you're from Jersey, you might know this. You know fat sandwiches?
Yeah.
Yeah? It'd be like a fat sandwich, but like quadruple the size.
Okay.
Yeah, I love those things.
Yeah.
I went to Rutgers University. Big shout out to Rutgers.
They had, didn't they have, oh, what was it called? That's the one with the chicken. They had chicken. That's the fat Nick.
I think you're talking about.
But they had something. No, they called it. I think it was. I don't know if it was a fat Nick. There was something else. But it was a fat.
It was 20 sandwiches and they all began with fat.
Yes. And one of them had, I know one of them had mozzarella sticks in it. I think it's a fat Nick. Yeah. Those always.
It was mozzarella. Well, the one that I had was mozzarella, cheese stick, chicken, hamburgers.
So there's a place in Orlando that sells a version of that.
Really? What's it called?
Oh, I have McDonald's. Yeah, if you buy everything on there. No, there is a place in it, but I forget. I have to remember it. It's near UCF.
Okay.
They opened it. They're usually open late night, and that's it. Looks almost exactly what I like when I saw it. Oh, it was called like a Fat Luther or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, it was the place. I'll let you know what the name of the place is.
Please do.
You would it'll bring you back. I may not be as good as what you had in Jersey, but you know.
Is it ever?
No, I guess not.
Well, have you had much luck finding a good bagel place here?
So, ironically, you say that there is one of my past guests, Jeff's Bagel Run. He actually just placed third in the Bagel Fest in New York.
A Bagel Fest in New York?
Yeah, and he placed third in it, and he's from Florida, and he's actually opening one in Claremont.
Get the fuck out of here, Jeffrey. We're best friends now.
Yeah, it's called Jeff's Bagel Run, is what it's called. And he's got like 7 locations. When I first talked to him, he only had 2, and now he's like at 7.
Really?
Yeah, but he just announced that Claremont is the next is their next location. So it'll be like sometime next year. But he does really good bagels, and it's the boiled with like, you know, the whole thing. He does the boiled and everything. And I even asked him the question. I said, hey, because when he did the Bagel Fest, he went into a commissary and actually did it in New York in order to make them fresh.
Okay.
And I said, well, I'm like, I need the truth. I was like, is it the water? And he's like, no. He's like, if you make it the same way, it'll work. It'll still taste. It'll be just as good. It'll be good. And he's like, I do the same way. And so obviously and that was before he even got placed.
You're hyping this man way up, dude.
I'm not trying to hype him. I'm just telling you.
What is this shit?
I'm just telling you. that he placed third in Bagel Fest along with like all the different bagels from all around the country and New York. So, which is pretty good.
I'm a huge foodie, and I'm also like, maybe it's my creative brain, but I dissect when the food tastes good or bad. Like, okay. It's like, oh, the bread is just perfectly crispy. And like the way the inside is like, I'll know. Jeff.
Is that what the key is for when you make a good sandwich? Like the bread's obviously the foundation. That's one of the reasons why my mascot is a bread.
Yeah. If your bread is messed up, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hear that, Mom? She actually owes me a fresh baguette. I bought her a Christmas gift a long time ago, how to make bread. Because you know how all moms are doing bread during the pandemic?
Yep.
Spent so much money on this book. And I was like, just please make me, my favorite bread is baguettes.
Okay.
And I was like, please just make me a baguette. She goes, see me, I love you so much. What year is it?
Has she made any bread for you?
Nope.
No bread.
No bread.
She just stopped
making. Not a pies though.
Her bread era is over. She's done with the bread era.
Every time I call her, where's my baguette? I love you so much, mijo.
Mijo, I'm just going to give you the book. You make the bread. Dude, this has been, it's seriously been great. I really appreciate you taking the time for sure. How can people follow you? Where can they see your stuff? You know, and obviously this is one of those where do you usually post your events where you're going to be at? So that way, if there's a convention that you're traveling to that they can kind of go listen and kind of be able to go and stop by and where can they do all that?
Thanks for having me. I've had a lot of fun here. But let me ask you a quick question.
Please.
What's your favorite bread?
My favorite bread?
Bread. No sandwiches, bread. Straight up bread.
Oh.
Who is Biggie?
Who is Biggie? Biggie Bread. Lately, I've been on a huge kick because I have a friend who actually is in a bread kick in her bread era.
Is his name Jeff?
No. Her name's Alyssa, and she is my bread dealer. And she drops bread off all the time because she's in a sourdough era. And so we're constantly having sourdough now, and I'm so down for that. Like I love trying the ageness of like the sour, because like the longer it's long, the more sour it can become.
Yeah.
So it's amazing seeing where she's gone, her evolution from like her first loaf to like she's now like on her fifth or sixth version of her loaf of bread, and so she's doing. So that's been kind of a fun one for me to be able to do. I don't say no to bread. So it's like,
why should you?
That's the hard thing. So it's like, I'm always trying to figure out like, depending on what my mood is right now, I'm in my sourdough phase just because I'm eating that more often.
Yeah.
But I can never go wrong with like, I absolutely love eating at Stasio's because one of the reasons why I like eating there is because it's an Italian, Italian. It's like an Italian. It's an Italian cafe. Like, I guess they make mostly sandwiches, but they also have like a lot of Italian food, but they make all the bread in house.
Oh, that's the best.
So they're always, so like when you eat their breakfast sandwich, like a bacon, egg and cheese, it's made with like their version of a Kaiser that they make at in house. So like I can never not like fresh bread. And so whenever I go and I get to have their, like a, their subs all have like their Italian sub has their, it's a fresh braid loaf of bread. Yeah. So I can never go wrong with that. Like if I can get like a good fresh loaf of bread, and pretty much I can eat bread by itself, but obviously I like it with, you know, with anything I can make a sandwich out of.
Are you a Publix boy?
Publix boy, meaning do I like Publix subs?
Yeah. Or just the boy in general, whatever you want to think.
I mean, I like Publix. I don't know. I used to love Publix subs more than I like it now. Yeah. I think now I'd rather go. I definitely always read.
I'm going
rather
that way now. I think. That's,
oh, really?
Yeah.
You're going towards liking it or not liking
it? I'm going towards away.
Yeah. I don't. It's not used to be like for a little while. I had no problem if someone said, "Hey, do you want a Wawa sub or do you want a Publix sub?" I would always say, "Oh yeah, I'll perfectly stop and get those," and I would like, I wouldn't be like my go-to, like I would never say these are my top two places to go to sub, but I would definitely pick those over going to like a Subway or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
But now it's not really, I very rarely do I say I want to do that. I've gone to Publix before and I've actually just bought the bread and I like bought like a loaf of their bread or some of their rolls. And I've just made my own sandwich at home. I bought my own deli meat and just made it myself.
I don't like the bread.
The bread's okay. I mean, it's not my go-to. Manufactured. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it is big grocery, bread. Big bread.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
They got me.
They got their main offices are in Lakeland. So they are big bread.
Great antique store. So, over there in Lakeland.
So yeah. So no, I definitely enjoy a good bread. Good definitely can't go wrong with that. I definitely like the idea of the different layers depending on what you're eating. So like depending if I want to toast it or not, depending on what's inside of it and all of that. But I definitely, dude, man, I definitely had fun getting to chat with you.
Got to come back.
Definitely. Especially as the house continues to evolve, we'll have to make sure to maybe I'll have you provide some of those different areas in here and of pictures of your house so people can kind of see it as part of your, when we start doing social media for this, so they can kind of see it.
Check me out at @coffin_couture. Plenty of pictures and videos there.
Oh yeah, plenty to see.
I think you can check. I'll be at the next show. Will be at LA Comic Con, so it'll be in December 1st.
Okay.
In California, and then I don't know what I'm doing next year. I play by ear.
Well,
I'll be in your house next week. I don't know.
There you go. Or mom's gonna make you that baguette, and you're gonna be happy.
Where are you? I love you so much, Mew.
Well, thank you so much to Moro for being on of Coffin Couture. I really appreciate you taking the time to being with me. If by all means, definitely check out his website, check out what he's doing. If you're enjoying the show, definitely subscribe, tell your friends. If you want to support my brand, Deli Fresh Threads, by all means. If you have a favorite monster, I'm going to keep plugging for people to give me selfies and tagging us on it. Take a picture with your favorite monster or something that's like that reminds you, right?
Yeah.
That's always a good one to be able to do, especially if you have like a favorite monster of any kind. I want to see it and make sure to tag both of us on it. Thank you. Until next time, keep eating sandwiches and follow your passion. Thanks, everyone.
Peace.